Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bible study. This is Brother Miles, and I'm glad you've joined us today. I hope that you are looking forward to our study. We've made our way through Genesis. We are in Genesis chapter 13, and we ended right at verse 5 last week, but we're going to pick it back up in verse 1 and get the sense of where we are. We've been introduced to Abraham, and they call him, a little later they'll call him Abraham the Hebrew, from the line of Eber. And this is the first mention of the word Hebrew, and the Israelites referred to themselves as Hebrews and so on and so forth. And that's where that comes from. And so looking forward to our study, because we are getting into the Abrahamic covenant that God made him. We've already seen people in the Bible are people. They're everyday people. And they make mistakes, you know, they go the wrong direction or whatever. And Abraham is one of those people. He already thought of himself over Sarai, his wife, when they went down into Egypt, because he told her, he said, "Say that you're my sister and they won't kill me. If you say that you're my wife, they will kill me because I'm your husband." And that would be a victory for them. It'd be like a spoil. So they did take her. She wound up in Pharaoh's harem. But God disrupted that, because that was not his will. And so Pharaoh let her go and ushered Abraham out of Egypt. He was there because of the famine to begin with. All right, so we're going to begin in chapter 13 when Abraham is leaving Egypt. Okay, so first of all, let's have prayer. Hope you're doing well. If you got a prayer request on your heart today, just kind of think about that, and I'll agree with you on it. And if it's a loved one, a situation, particularly the situation we're in with the coronavirus, just wear a mask, maintain 6 foot. That's your best defense. Stay at home if you can, if you don't have to go anywhere, but if you have to go to work, be careful. Okay, with that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our opportunity to come to you. Lord, thank you for today, where we are. Lord, thank you for your grace and for moving us. Thank you for your word. Lord, teach us today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way with us and guide us and lead us. And Lord, teach us about the patriarch Abraham, your promise to him, and how it's impacted and affected our lives down through the years. We love you today and praise you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 13, we've come a long way. It's kind of slow going, but, 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, what else are you going to do? And this is informative. This is Bible history. Not only that, it has a spiritual impact on our lives. We need to know as much as we can. We need to get it's funny how the cults, they know what they're talking about. And it's a shame that they can confuse a lot of Christians. And the reason they can be confused is because we're weak on doctrine. We're weak on doctrine. We need to read our Bible. We need to make a place in our life to read and study our Bible. So I'm very glad that you're doing that. And I hope that this is not the only time, but you have your own personal Bible study as well. And you have church. And I don't know if you have Sunday school. We're not having Sunday school, but we're going to have in church. We're on the internet. If you want to visit us on the internet, send me a friend request on the Facebook page. And I've got somebody that takes care of that. And just let me know somehow, and we'll hook you up, okay? All right. So, things have changed. Things are different than what they used to be. But we can still serve God. We need to keep going. We don't need to live out of fear. We need to be cautious, trust him, and he's in control. He's in control now, just like he was then. He's in control in the hard times, just like he is when there's good times. And so, let's move forward. Okay. Wherever you are, if you don't have a church, we'd love to invite you to Little Sand Mountain, up on top of Little Sand Mountain. We'd love to invite you to come be with us. We socially distance. We scatter out throughout the congregation and the choir loft. And we're making a point to do that. And so we welcome you. we'll do our best. The church is sanitized and wiped down and cleaned, and so we'll do our best to make you comfortable and safe. Okay. All right. Let's get on with it. Chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt. Let me get something fixed here. The older you get, the less you can see. I got lights everywhere. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. Lot with him into the south. Lot's his nephew, Haran's son, Abram's brother's son. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went, that's an important verse. I'll show you in just a minute if I can remember once we get over. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Bethel and Ai. Remember I told you last week he went back to Bethel unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He went to the south instead of staying in Canaan. And depending on God and trusting God, he went to where the water was, and the water was in Egypt. That wasn't a good place. And so now, you know, when he wasn't safe when he got there because he was scared, and scared he was going to get killed, and that's why he made up that story, and that's why God had to correct it and get him out of there. But he had to go and get back on where he got off, so he went back to Bethel, where he built that altar. And it said there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, we actually stopped there. We'll pick it up in verse 5 of chapter 13. And Lot also went with him, went with Abram. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Their herds and their cattle and all that they had, the water in the land wouldn't sustain both of these people, both of these Abraham and Lot and their herds. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. They needed to stay together. They needed to be bound together because of the Canaanite and the Perizzites, because Abram was going to have this land, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were there. And they needed to have a united front to be ready in case of battle. And so Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we're brethren. And is not the whole land before thee? Now this is beginning to unfold, and we'll know more about some things in chapter 19. But listen at the progression here. He says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart, if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Abraham had seniority. He was head of the clan. He was head of all these people. Yet he deferred to Lot to give Lot the choice. Now, Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, all this was obliterated. And so this was, of course, it was written after, Moses wrote this after Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but he's describing it before. And it was a very beautiful place, and it was lush, and it had a lot of water. And it was even described, look at your Bible, verse 10, as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, thou comest unto Zoar. Zoar means little place. It was a little city, a little town. And this area that Lot looked up and seen was beautiful. And it attracted him. But watch this right here. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Here it is right here, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So he would go back and forth to where he dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So this was an extremely wicked place, a place of debauchery and evil, sin of the worst kind. And Lot made a mistake by choosing, even though it looked good, it wasn't the best. It would have been better for him to go to a place that was dry and had no water, and they had to dig wells or they had to go in cart water. It would have been better. It's always better to have to work for something to get it than to get something free. You appreciate it more. And in this case right here, this place had a draw. Sin has a draw. Sin has a lure. Sin pulls and tugs. It's just like the Holy Spirit that tugs our hearts toward righteousness. The devil, he tugs our hearts toward evil. And it says, and then look at verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, this will be developed in chapter 19, of course. But now, this is where Lot pitched his tent. This is where Lot dwelt. And the Lord said unto them, now that they were separated, and Lot was out of the way, if you will, God said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place when thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now, Abraham had given this land to Lot, but it wasn't his. This was not what God wanted. God gave this land to Abraham. It was to be his inheritance. It was a one-third of the Abrahamic covenant, the land, the seed, and the blessing. And so we're talking about the land right now. And God told Abraham to look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. Look all around you for all the land that which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Now then, watch this, to thy seed forever. Now let's stop right there for just a minute. By now, Abraham's 75 years old, and he still does not have an heir. He does not have a child. So you know good and well, let's think logically for a minute. That Abraham is, he's listening to this, what God's saying. This is like, what, the second or third time that God has mentioned this. And let's say we begin chapter 12, Abraham's call. He appeared unto Abraham. He told him to go to Canaan and so on and so forth, you know. And so, and Abraham's being obedient because he's believing, or he's hearing what God's saying, okay? All right, so he has no child, so he's thinking about this. Don't you know good and well, how in the world is God going to do this when I don't have a child? My wife is barren. She's childless. That's what the Bible says. It's a double negative. Just the other, in a passage or two before, chapter two before, and Sarai was his wife, and she was barren and childless. She had no child. And he says in verse 16, he said, I will make thy seed. Now this would have been excruciating to hear God. God has appeared to him in what form we don't know. It doesn't say. But now God's speaking to him. The Lord said unto Abraham, and he said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then then shall thy seed be numbered. So this blessing that he's bestowing upon Abraham, this promise that he's making to him, it's gonna have to have a miracle attached to it. You understand what I'm saying? Because not only is she childless, but she couldn't have children, or she'd have done had a child. You see what I'm talking about? All right, and so the Bible makes it very clear. Now, see, it's a miraculous promise. He's gonna give this land to Abraham. And he's going to make his seed as the dust of the earth, the sand of the sea, stars of the sky. All those he makes mention of all that. And so now Abraham had some military might. He was a good strategist. We'll see that later on too. And he overtook when Lot got captured. He defeated those kings of the north with only 300 and some odd men. It's in here with 300 and some odd men. He went at night, so he was a military strategist. So he probably, most likely, thought that taking the land over a period of time would require, you know, more men, more strategy, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But to not have a child, that's a whole different matter. He would of course have a hand in that, but his wife had to be fertile. You understand what I'm saying? And so this required. This was bearing on his mind. That's what I'm trying to say. This was bearing on his mind. And so he says, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Look in verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Maim, which is in Hebron, and he built an altar unto the Lord. So now see, Abraham worshiped the Lord. This is the second or third time he's built an altar. I wish that I made numbers, because I think it's three times that this is mentioned for Abraham. He built one at Bethel. Now he's built one in Hebron, and another one will come up later on. But this is an indication that Abraham worships God. So when he built this altar, that meant that he sacrificed on it. That he sacrificed an animal, and then he prayed and he sought God's wisdom and direction, and he worshiped God. In a sense, it's like Abraham went to church. Abraham he prayed and he worshiped and he praised God, and he wasn't without that. He wasn't without that, and he was growing in that. And that's why studying our Bible and reading our Bible, it helps us to grow. It helps us to learn to trust God, to step out on faith, and to believe. Our belief is fostered by our study of God's Word. It's encouraged and it's enlightened. It helps us. Not only does it help us in our walk with God, but it helps us to know the difference between right and wrong. Like I said earlier. Here's a prime example. Lot, for instance. Lot, he was aware of Abraham's calling, because he followed him. He went with him, and you know good and well that Abraham talked and told the people what was going on, his servants what was going on, and the trained men in his care, and the servants in his household, and Sarai, his wife. And so Lot was he wasn't strong in faith like Abraham was. His faith wasn't growing. Lot saw what the immediate relief to the problem. Abraham was willing to trust God. Abraham was willing to learn to trust God, and that relationship developed between him and God. All right, and so for our relationship to grow, for us to trust God, Bible study, preaching won't do it. So just going to church on Sunday is awesome. We ought to go to church on Sunday, and really, shame on you if you don't go, unless right now you can't go. But we ought to go to church on Sunday because we tithe and we give our offering, we praise, we worship, we hear the message. But that's not enough. That's only a fraction. Where our real growth comes from is like Abraham, getting the word of God, God's word from him, and Abraham following him and learning to obey him, making mistakes. He made a mistake. He'll make another mistake later on. But growing daily, trusting God, that comes from personal Bible study. You can grow listening to the preaching, but not like personal Bible study. And this is an example right here. Listening to God, trusting God. And see, he said he built an altar there unto the Lord. What was going through his mind? This promise, let me read it again. I'll give you a land, I'll give you a seed, and I'll give you a blessing. I mean, he'd never heard of that before. God had never spoke to him like that. God chose him. God chose him just like he chose Noah. Noah was an everyday Joe, but he loved God. Enoch was an everyday Joe, but he loved God, and God took him. Abraham. Now, their difference was, is that they worshiped and believed God, okay? And so God chose them to do a work in their lives. Noah and his family survived the flood, and the earth was repopulated by Noah and his son's sons and so forth. The animal kingdom was repopulated because Noah obeyed God. The Hebrew people, the Hebrew race, was developed and founded because Abraham believed God. Okay, because he trusted God. Now, God chose them for those specific. Moses, a little rough getting started, but once he got started, God used him in a mighty way. He was the father of the Hebrew nation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. We're going to get into all that. All right, look in chapter 14. Now, and it came to pass. Story's going to change a little bit right here. Let me look at my time. Okay. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorama, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. But these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is by the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorama, and on the 13th year they rebelled. They paid tribute to this king. They had to send tribute from the north down to the south to Sodom and Gomorrah to keep from going to battle. And they did this for, 12 years? And in the 13th year they rebelled, said, we're not going to pay. And so when the money was cut off, then they waited for a military attack. They waited for the army of the king of Sodom to attack them and take them under slavery, so to speak. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, a coalition, and smote the Rephaims and Ashtaroth and Carnanim and Zuzims and Ham and the Emims and Sheba and Kirithim and the Horites and Mount of Seir and El Paran, which is in the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of Amalekites and Amorites that dwelt in Haz Ezon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboam and the king of Bela, the same Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim. With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. They fell into these slime pits. Some of them died there. Evidently, the king of Sodom, survived that. And they remained fled to the mountain, and the remainder fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and fell. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot. Verse 12. Now listen to this right here. Think about this for just a moment. Look at your Bible. It says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So now listen. Think about where. Now see, he had evidently moved from the plains of Jordan where he was, and he had pitched his tent toward. Now see, he got closer. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and now it says that he dwelt in Sodom. So the draw got him into a very wicked and evil situation. And his goods and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abram, here it is, the Hebrew. That's the first mention of the word Hebrew in the Bible. From the descendant of Eber. This is the Hebrew people. For he dwelt in the plain of Maon, and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Enar. And these were confederates with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, it's his nephew. But he's referred to it as his brother, the relationship he had with Haran, and Haran was Lot's daddy. And so he's referred to in several other places in the Bible, instead of brother-in-law at this point, he's referred to as a brother. Taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Now, why would Abraham have armed trained servants? Well, I just read over here earlier. And I was going to make mention of it. Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He was a rich man, so Abraham had protectors. He had a force of people that was loyal to him and that loved him and stayed with him and that protected him in everything that he had. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them under Dan. He went northward under Dan. I believe it was like 150 miles he was going after his nephew. And he divided him. He was going after Lot. That's the reason he was going. But it was a threat. it was personal with Abraham. Okay? Abraham was aware of what went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was aware of that Lot was there on his own accord, and that Lot was in trouble because he was there. But now this is a picture to me, a type. I've never heard it put this way, but it just kind of came to me. It's kind of a picture of Jesus. Now see, Abraham left his family and his loved ones in that place, and he went to retrieve Lot, who was in a wicked situation, and the results was a terrible circumstance. He was held captive. He was going to be made a slave, lost everything he had. This king had taken everything that he had. Abraham was going to rescue him. That's what Jesus did for you, and that's what he did for me. He rescued us. Now, even, you know, and it was our fault. It was of our own accord. We chose to sin. Not only did we inherit the sin nature, we inherited the sin nature, but we chose to sin. And it says, God commendeth his love toward us, even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a picture of this very thing right here. And let me check my time. And it says, Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained men. Look at verse 15. And he divided himself against them and his servants by night. Now, here's why I told you. Remember a while ago, I said that he was a good war strategist. Now see, listen to this right here. You kind of read between the lines. I'm not trying to make it say something that don't, but think about it for just a minute. It says that he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and he smote them, pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. So he went by night because he was less in number. 318, is that what it said? 318 against all these other threats of war. But he armed himself, he divided himself, and he slipped in there at night, and he rescued Lot. He rescued Lot. So that's why I said he was a well-rounded man. He was wise in riches and goods and that kind of thing. He had faults. He had weaknesses, but his military wisdom was good. And he went in there by night, unexpected, unprepared. These people were unprepared, and he rescued Lot. And it says, and he smote them. I'm going to find a place. He smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also, again, his brother Lot and his goods and the woman also and the people. He brought back all the goods. He got everything that was taken. Also brought again his brother Lot. He brought back Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. So Lot's, the women that were with Lot, whether they were family, servants, whoever they were, Abram went back and he got everything. He got everything. He rescued, he restored, and he sent the enemy pack and he chased them. All the way, it says, on the left hand of Damascus, look in verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. He didn't go with him. King of Sodom didn't go with him. He survived that slime pit thing. This was asphalt pits that were used for all kinds of things. And evidently the kings fell into those things. Some of them died, but he evidently survived because it said the king of Sodom went to meet him after his return from slaughter of Chedorlaomer and all the kings that were with him all at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale.
Now we're going to be introduced to another character, and I'm just going to read it, not make a whole lot of comment on it, because I've got like a minute left, okay?
Verse 18, and Melchizedek,
only, you know, not anything is really known about him other than he was king of Jerusalem, a nearby city, or it says Salem here, but that's the same as Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, it's significant that the term the Most High God is used. This is El Leon. Abraham is familiar with that term. I got like a half a minute. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My time's running away, y'all. And he blessed the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of it all. I'm going to have to stop there because my time is slipping away. Listen, tune in again next week. We're going to pick it up right there with Melchizedek. And God bless you, and have a wonderful week, okay? Stay safe. All right. Goodbye.